Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into a book that flips the whole idea of luck on its head. It's called Lucky by Design by Judd B. Kessler. Sophie, tell me, have you ever felt like some people just have all the luck?
Oh, absolutely, Sam. I used to think luck was just a cosmic coin flip. But Kessler's book argues that luck isn't random at all. It's actually a skill you can practice, like playing an instrument or learning a sport. And that's a game changer.
Wait, hold on. Luck is a skill? That sounds almost too good to be true. How does he back that up?
He starts by making a key distinction between randomness and luck. Randomness is the raw stuff, like a meteor landing on your house. You can't control that. But luck is when preparation meets opportunity. It's about recognizing good chances and acting on them.
Okay, so it's not about winning the lottery through positive thinking. It's more about putting yourself in the path of good things.
Exactly.
And he says lucky people have an abundance mindset. They believe opportunities exist and their actions matter. That belief actually changes how they process information. When you expect good things, you notice them more.
So it's like having a mental filter that picks up on possibilities instead of problems. I can see how that would open doors.
Right.
And then there's serendipity. He says it's not just a happy accident. You can create the conditions for it by exposing yourself to new experiences and people. Say yes more often, take the unfamiliar route, go to events where you know no one.
But doesn't that feel risky? I mean, saying yes to everything could lead to a lot of dead ends.
Sure, most bets won't pay off, but the ones that do can be life-changing. He calls it increasing your surface area for serendipity.
Surface area for serendipity. I like that. So what about networks? Because I feel like so many opportunities come through people.
That's a huge part of it. Kessler says many big breaks come from weak ties, those casual acquaintances beyond your inner circle. Lucky people maintain a broad network, and they give without expecting immediate returns.
So it's not the classic networking move of collecting business cards. It's more about genuine curiosity and building a web of goodwill.
Exactly.
He has these stories of careers transformed by a chance conversation at a conference or a wedding. Those aren't random. They're the result of being in the right place and keeping those relationships warm.
But even with a great network, you still have to spot the opportunities when they show up. How do you do that?
You need a flexible mindset. Don't get so attached to your plan that you miss a better path. It takes intellectual humility to admit that the universe might have a better idea than you do.
And courage, too, because seizing an opportunity might mean leaving a stable job or moving to a new city without guarantees. That's scary.
It is, but he's not talking about recklessness. It's calculated risk-taking. You bet on yourself when the odds are decent and the upside is big.
Now, here's a part that I actually push back on at first. He says failure is a prerequisite for luck. That seems backwards.
I get that. We think of failure as the opposite of luck. But the most successful people are often the ones who failed the most. Failure means you're taking risks and putting yourself out there.
So it's not about avoiding failure, but failing well. You learn from it and keep going.
Yes.
He points out that many entrepreneurs and artists have long histories of rejection and bankruptcy that you never see when they finally succeed.
That's reassuring in a weird way. But what about our brains? Don't they mess with how we perceive luck?
Oh, totally. We're terrible at probability. We remember the bad luck more vividly than the good, and we blame failure on circumstances while taking credit for success. That makes us feel unluckier than we actually are.
So if you can become aware of those biases, you can get a more accurate picture and feel more in control.
Exactly. He calls them luck rituals, too. Small daily practices like journaling about opportunities, setting intentions, and practicing gratitude. They seem mundane, but they compound over time.
So you're building a structure so that luck has a place to land. Otherwise, opportunities slip through the cracks.
That's a great way to put it. And here's the uplifting part. Lucky people tend to be generous. Not because it's a transaction, but because generosity builds trust and strong relationships. And that creates more chances for good things to happen.
So generosity is like an investment in your own luck ecosystem. But doesn't he acknowledge that some people start with more advantages than others?
He does.
He's honest about how poverty and discrimination can limit opportunities. But he still says there's room for agency. Even within constraints, you can build networks, take calculated risks, and keep a mindset of possibility.
That feels realistic. It's not toxic positivity, but it's not giving up either.
And he backs it all up with research from behavioral economics and psychology. Studies show that people who think of themselves as lucky actually do experience more positive outcomes, not because of magic, but because of their behaviors.
So the takeaway is that anyone can get luckier. It's never too late to start practicing.
Right.
The book is a call to action. Stop waiting for luck to find you. Start creating the conditions for it. Expand your network, say yes to unexpected chances, and reframe failure as a lesson.
I'm actually going to take away the idea that luck is a skill. That changes everything for me. Instead of feeling helpless, I can practice being lucky.
And if you want to go deeper, you can find the whole library over at 7minutebooks.com/app. It's got over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. In the end, this book is about hope and agency. You create your own luck, one decision at a time. We'll see you in the next one.